Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. This is your host, Stacey Emery, as always, joined by my phenomenal Mind Shift crew that you will hear from shortly, Mr. Billy Miller, the Motivational Minister, and Dr. Ayal Kedar, the Natural Zen Diva. It is Monday, June 20th. Happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And again, we thank you for tuning in every single week, joining us here online at mindshifttalkradio.com. Make sure that you're joining us in the chat room. And if you have any questions, if you want to comment on tonight's show, feel free to reach us by phone at area code 347-989-0206. As always, excited to be here, excited about another Monday. As we say, there's no other way to get the week started than to get it on with Mind Shift Talk Radio Monday night to get that healthy perspective on different topics affecting real people. Again, we encourage you to always come to this show with an open mind, open perspective. There may be some things that are shared that you may not necessarily agree with. But we encourage you to keep an open mind because we're sure by the end of the hour, you will definitely feel a healthy sigh of relief and you'll definitely look at situations and conversations and circumstances from a different perspective. So again, thank you for joining us. We commend you for being so diligent about your personal growth and development. And also, we encourage you to send us your information, your comments, your questions, concerns at mindshifttalkradio@gmail.com. Also, you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Now, we have another hot show for you guys tonight. Before we tell you more about that, I do want to introduce my Mind Shift crew. So first, the man of the hour, the motivational minister himself, Billy Miller, that's always holding it down here with the ladies every Monday night. Hey, Billy.
Hey.
Hola.
I am excited tonight. You understand what I'm saying?
You're always excited, Billy. I love your excitement. It's contagious.
Hey, check this out. Check this out. I just want to say this right before we get into it. I mean, I'm standing up pacing the floor. I'm excited because we're going to get real personal tonight on Mind Shift Talk Radio, and I'm just Well, okay, I'm just going to let you go ahead, Stacey. Go ahead, Stacey. I'm going to let you go ahead. Calm down. I'm going to calm down.
You are fired up. That's cool. I love it. I love it. All right. And also, let's introduce the lady to you as well, the leather lady of the show, the lovely lady, the diva herself, the natural Zen diva, Dr. Ayal Kedar, also playing our devil's advocate on the show, always has something very interesting and insightful to share. Hey, Dr. Ayal.
Hey, what's up, beautiful people?
Hey, happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday, woohoo.
Guys, you know, I know Billy, you're over there super excited right now. Ayal, can you hear his excitement? Can you feel it?
I can, and Billy's like in the 21st century with no rotary, so I know we're going to hear him loud and clear tonight.
That's why he's so excited. Oh, gosh, but yeah, you know, before we go into the new show this week, before we talk about that, you know, I just want to remind our listeners, definitely encourage you to go back and check out the replay from last week's show. It's just been fire, like week after week after week. And then last week was just another amazing one, had to do a video about it. But we had an amazing, amazing speaker. When we talked about getting personal, Billy just talked about getting personal, but he got very personal last week. We had our special guest, Mr. Dwight Pleasure. You know, he's an author, he's a motivational speaker, he's a coach. And we talked about how he's a father and a husband, but his story was just, wow, amazing, definitely amazing. When I say very transparent, you know, one thing I loved about him last week that he was just so transparent about sharing his story of overcoming a drug addiction. And I know for many people that would be challenging to share the story. I mean, he was so very clear with painting pictures of where he was during that time in his life. So I was totally moved by his story. And I was just like, wow, I was blown away. But it really reminded me that I have to make sure that I maintain that no excuse mentality and know that I can overcome anything that I'm going through. So it was definitely encouraging. You got to check out the replay of that.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I liked about it is, you know, there's a rhetorical question that God asks, and that question is there anything too hard for God? And that's what I think about when I hear Dwight's story. It's an awesome story. I encourage anybody to go listen to the replay of that because it's just a true, powerful testimony.
Yeah, it was really, I don't know, you know, I wasn't sure what we were going to get from Dwight. And, you know, I was just so moved because the message that came through for me was, you know, no matter what you've been through, no matter what obstacles you have, your perceived obstacles you have in your way, that you can make it. If you really believe, you can make it. If others believe in you, you can make it. You just have to make the decision to be the catalyst and take action and, you know, and drive forward. So that was a really the message that stood out for me. And the beauty of last week's show was for everyone who listened, you're going to get there's a message for you in there. So I really encourage you to go back and listen to the replay, mindshifttalkradio.com, because it was one of those shows where, you know, everyone who was listening had a different takeaway. So you have to really listen to it and just be encouraged by what he was saying. So it was an awesome show last week. And I know this week is going to be just as wonderful. So,
oh, of course, because we have our very own, you know, our dear brother that's going to be on the mic tonight. So that's definitely exciting. But, yes, again, just to sum that up, definitely make sure that you go back and check out the replay. But tonight is definitely going to be awesome. Like I said, you know, Billy just talked about how excited he is, and he talked about how personal it's going to get. So now, like, my ears just stood up when he said how personal, because I think I know a lot about Billy, but I'm sure some things are going to come out tonight that I don't really know. So I have my notepad. I'm ready to hear the story. But as you guys know, you know, in the month of June, we've been honoring men. We've been having some great speakers sharing stories and talking about different situations and topics from a male perspective. So that's been very exciting in the month of June. And so we want to keep that momentum going. And what better way, coming off of the day after Father's Day, than to have a discussion about parenthood from a father's perspective. Now, so often we have conversations about parenthood and parenting, and you hear it from the mom's perspective. So this is definitely going to be interesting to hear this from a male perspective. And so as you saw the title of the show tonight, you know, it's real men, it's real fathers, and that's what we're going to hear about tonight is parenthood and what it's like to be a real father in today's society and the impact it has on our children. And so to kick off the conversation, we're going to have it with our very own Mr. Billy Miller to kick off the conversation and just talk about this. And also later on in the hour, you're going to hear from our special guest that will be joining us as well. So go ahead, Billy. I'll pass it over to you.
Okay. I'm excited tonight, and the reason I'm so excited is because I just know what God is going to do tonight. I know I don't think you can fathom the encouragement and the impact we're going to make on the listeners, because I know as a father, there's a father that's listening that's going to be encouraged to become a better father. I know there's a mother that's listening that's going to be encouraged because she needs to hear that there's a real fathers out there. You know, they are godly fathers. And I'm just excited. And I didn't come by myself. My vision partner came with me. So what you're going to get tonight is you're going to get two real men, two real fathers on the same show at the same time. Mark my words right now, you will be listening to the replay. As a matter of fact, when you get to the replay, you're going to hear this part right here, right now. Listen to my message. Didn't I tell you that you was coming back to listen to the replay? Woo! Okay. Well, most of y'all know who I am, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Billy Miller. I'm the motivational minister. You can connect with me at billymiller.com. which is B-I-L-L-I-E, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R.com, and you'll see different ways you can connect with me there. I do a lot of things, but one of the things I want to highlight because it's relevant, tonight I'm the creator of the Facebook and Twitter page called The Godly Father. So if you haven't already connected with that, go to Facebook.com or Twitter.com/The Godly, G-O-D-L-Y, Father, F-A-T-H-E-R. And these pages were created for fathers. It's created for men who want to be fathers, but it's also created for the women who support and who are for real fathers, because I got a lot of support from women. And so this page is created for the families. You know, thousands of families are impacted daily by these pages. And so finally we got a place on social network for family. And I'm telling you this not just so you can join it, but I'm telling you this because it's relevant to the story that I'm going to share with you. And this is a personal story. I've shared little bits of the story before. I shared it in my newsletter. And I got replies saying, well, I want to hear more of the story because I just shared a little bit of it. So I'm going to share this story with you. And this story shows you how this whole Godly Father thing started. You know, so here's my story. So years ago, before I became a Christian, I was in a relationship with a woman, and we'll call her D. And me and D was in a relationship for a total of about 3 years. And during that relationship, D got pregnant. And D got pregnant, and we had a little girl. And with the little girl, we call her Nene. With the N, N-E-E-N-E-E, Nene. And when Nene was about a year old, that's when I got saved, that's when I got born again, and that's when my life began to change. And I often always tell her, you know, the best thing that I ever done for you was not provide for you, was not to protect you, but the best thing that I ever done for you was get saved. Because once I got saved, my life changed, and I became the man that I need to be for her, and I became the father that I need to be. But anyway, within a year, not long after I got saved, me and Dee's relationship started going downhill. So we started struggling. So we ended up breaking up. Me and Dee's relationship ended. And me and Dee, we were never married, and we never lived together. So when we broke up, my daughter stayed with her. I mean, that's typically how it goes. I mean, that's like a common thing. I mean, if the mother and father are separated, usually the child stays with the mother, and that's all I've ever seen, and that's how I thought a father relationship was when the mother and the father wasn't together, okay? I mean, I paid child support. You know, I picked her up on every other weekend. You know, some holidays I would get and spend with her. And so that's how it was. Me and Dee, we got along all right, and so everything was fine. I was cool with that setup, and everything was good. But then something happened. Dee got real sick, and she got very ill, and she got ill to the point where she was no longer fit to raise our daughter. So I'm the next available parent. Therefore, I had to step up. Now, this is the part of the story that gets tricky. Step up. It was time for me to step up. That's easier said than done. Now, might not be as bad for mothers, and I'm not saying it's easier for mothers, but what I am saying is mothers for years have been stepping up. I mean, I commend the real mothers out there because mothers always step up. I mean, even when years ago when the daddies used to go to the store to get some bread and then never come back home again, you know, mother stepped up. You know, even when daddy ran off with another woman and left mama there with the kids, you know, mother stepped up. You know, even when the daddies didn't even claim the baby as his, you know, the real mothers, they stepped up. So I commend the mothers because for years, mothers been stepping up. But as for me, I had a mistaken idea of what a real father was. Because, you know, hey, I get on the weekend. You know, I get a, you know, during the holidays, maybe I get up for spring break or something, but to take on the full task, to take 100% responsibility, to get full and sole custody, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was afraid. I'm being real with you tonight on Mind Shift Talk Radio. I was afraid because I didn't know anything about raising a child on my own. And check this out, especially raising a girl. So I was scared. And that fear that I had, that fear of failure, it caused me to procrastinate. And let me tell you something about men. Women, listen up, because this is something you might not know, but men aren't trained to share their emotions. Men aren't brought up to express their feelings. So here I was, a scared father. Here I was intimidated about getting sole custody, but nobody knew about it because I didn't tell anybody. And nobody knew about it because I hid that fear under my procrastination. You know, I covered that fear up with excuses. You know, I kept making excuses like, well, you know, I'm getting ready. I'm going to go get her. You know, well, as soon as my money get right, I'm going to get her. Well, you know, I'm living in this studio apartment. I'm going to need a bigger place if I'm going to get cut. I had all of these excuses and procrastinating, and I was just hoping during this procrastination that the situation would just change. You know, maybe D would get better, and then things would go back to normal. Because, listen, nobody signed up for this. Nobody expected this. Nobody wanted this. But, hey, maybe it'll get back to the way it's supposed to be. But D didn't get better. And the situation wasn't changing. And time was steady going by. And I'm almost ashamed to say it, but next thing you know, 2 years went by. 2 years. 2 years I procrastinated. 2 years I made excuses. For 2 years I put it off. And my close friends and family had to have sort of like an intervention with me. I remember one of my friends, Jessica Proctor, she came and she called me up and she said, listen, you keep worrying about how you're going to raise Nene. You keep worrying about how you're going to support her. You keep worrying about this lack of provision. She said, you just need to start. I remember it just like it was yesterday. She said, nothing's going to happen until you start. I remember my youngest brother, after him seeing the same situation repeat itself and nothing changed, he called me and said, listen, brother, what do we need to do as a family for you to get custody of Nene? I remember my pastor's wife called me and she was like, you need to go get Nene. She said, what are you waiting for? She said, listen, I know you're scared. She said, we're here to help you if you need help. You know that. She said, you know we got you. Now go get your baby. And that wasn't enough. You know, I had to get real with myself. I had to start talking to myself. And I asked myself, I said, what are you going to do? I was like, don't you love her? What are you prepared to do? I was like, D, the mama's sick. Who else is going to raise Nene? And, man, that's when I went to my knees. And I went before the Lord, and I had to repent before God, and I just repented for just putting it off for so long, repented for making all those excuses, repented for not trusting him. And I asked God, I said, God, teach me to be a father to my daughter the way that you are a father to me. I said, guide me to guide her. Teach me to be a godly father. And God did exactly what I requested. And that's when this whole godly father thing started. Because guess what? Soon as I stepped out, he connected me to the right resources. He connected me to the right information. Soon as I got into action, he connected me to the right people. And, man, it's this quote that was almost cliche to me. Heard it for years. But then it became alive on the inside of me. And you've heard it before. It's a statement that says, it takes a village to raise a child. And let me tell you, this is the part of the story where it gets exciting. Because when I stepped out, when I finally stepped up, the village showed up and showed out. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about people came from everywhere helping. I mean, that's when family began to show me, listen, this is what family is all about. Even D's side of the family got heavily involved. You know, that's when my true friends was like, listen, this is what friendship is all about. I remember I would even go to school to pick up my daughter, and teachers would stop me and say, look, we're praying for you. We're praying for you and your daughter. And so all of the resources and all of the help that I needed was there. But this part I want you to get, it wouldn't have never showed up if I wouldn't have never stepped up. All of that provision wouldn't have came if I wouldn't have started. You know, there's a quote that says, when you leap, the net will appear. There's another quote that says, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will show up. You see, when you step out in faith, provision will catch you. And, you know, God was just waiting on me to move. God was saying, you move, I'll move, just like that. God was just waiting on me to get into action. And that's when I got a revelation. God was already in my future waiting on me to start. Chew on that for a minute. I'm going to say that again. I said God was already in my future waiting on me to start. He was already in my destiny. He was just waiting on me to begin. And I'm sitting here, kept wondering how I'm going to finish. And God was just wondering, when you gonna start? And that's my story. I mean, I still ain't give you the whole detailed story, but that's a good meat of the story, and that's how the whole Godly Father thing started, and God began to direct me. And what a Godly Father is, a Godly Father is not a perfect father, but a Godly Father is an imperfect man who chooses to look to a perfect God in order to bring up godly children. And that's my story.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and the Mind Shift crew, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and Dr. Ayel Kedar, the natural Zen diva. Wow, you just heard the personal testimony of our very own motivational minister himself, Billy Miller. And, you know, Billy, it's just a powerful story. I mean, I've been familiar with some of your story, but it doesn't matter how many times you share it, it still moves me. And one reason for that is because of the victory in the story. When you talked about how you began the story and talked about when you had that conversation with Mimi and told Mimi that, you know, the best thing you could have ever done for her was to be saved. And then for her to be able to be there with you and walk with you through that transformation. And it's such an encouraging story because, again, it's not often that we hear these victory reports from fathers. And it's not often that we hear about fathers that step up and take the role that you took in Mimi's life. Now, I'm sure there are several fathers, probably millions of fathers, or at least thousands of fathers that have done the same thing. But unfortunately, the media does a very poor job in portraying the positive and godly side of a father. So I just commend you for sharing your story and for being so passionate about that story as well. And I'm sure that testimony alone is going to encourage not only other fathers, but even other mothers to step up. You know, it checks all of us. It takes us all to a place where we have to really do that self-assessment that we talk about, to really look at ourselves and really ask, are we doing the best that we can do in parenting, but also in every other area of our lives? So I just thought that was a powerful story. Go ahead, Brother Billy.
Yeah, that was like, I'm like, wow, Stacey, you hit the nail on the head. Every time, you know, Billy shares his story, it's just like, you know, you can feel it. And I do love the victory, and I love the passion. And for me, you know, I really commend you for taking responsibility, because it's just like Stacey said, you know, in the media, we don't hear about that. We don't hear about positive black males. We don't hear about men that are stepping up and taking responsibility. And there are a lot of you guys out there. I know quite a few men who are raising their children. They're being the fathers that they're supposed to be. And, you know, so I just love that, you know, our mind shift, that we get to share something like that, because, you know, the media will have us to believe that there are no good men out there and la, la, la. And you know what? It's a bunch of hogwash, okay? It's a bunch of hogwash because we have two spectacular fellows on here, Billy Miller and our guest speaker tonight, that's going to show you, you know what? That is such a fallacy. And I really love when you share that men are not trained to share their feelings. Because that is, as he said, I'm going to say this twice, ladies. Take
that
note.
One of those chew on it right there. That one of those chew on it moments right there. I was in there
That's
nodding
right.
my head like, mm-hmm.
That's right. So, you know, for ladies, that kind of opens up some things for us to marinate on and think about, you know, in your relationship. So I'm just excited. I'm just loving the first half of this show. I can't wait to hear the second half. So.
I know. Okay, give us more. Give us more, Billy.
Well, you know, I got to introduce my next guest, and I'm excited. This is one of my vision partners. This is a brother I've been following for a minute, and his name is Stephen Bedouin Jr., and he's also known as Bo. And Bo is a powerful speaker. He's an author. He's an author of the book called If You Have Ears, Be Motivated, Live Inspired. He's also the writer, arranger, and performer of the critically acclaimed and groundbreaking motivational spoken word series, Private Confessions, Volumes 1 and Volume 2. And I have both of those, and they're awesome. So go get that. You can contact Bo at bospeaks.com. And I'm just excited to have him on the show. He's the father of four, grandfather of three. He's qualified to deliver this message tonight, and I'm honored to share the stage with him. So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Mr. Bo Bedouin. How you doing, Bo?
Man, Billy, can't nobody live up to that, man. Man, you're going to have to tone it down a little bit, bro. I mean, I'm just me, Doc, trying to hang out with you tonight.
All ready for you, brother. I know you got a message for us.
Man, I have to tell you, Doc, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your heart. I want to thank Stacy and Dr. Ayo for sharing the air with me tonight, and for taking the time really to focus on men, and even more specifically, in the message that you sent me earlier today, I assume we're talking about real men and not just males, and we're talking about real fathers and not just dads. And you know we for so many years we've heard about what the differences are. We know that, you know, the male species is capable of reproducing with the help of a female, but that doesn't make that male a dad. It doesn't make that male a father. And being a man does not make you a real man. So, you know, in listening to your story, I'm just reminded so much of the parallels in my own story. And fortunately, I don't, you know, my story is not nearly as tragic. But there was this place, this space in my life where I had to decide what I was going to be. You know, I met my wife when I was 24 years old, and I was still in the Navy, and we were living in Seattle. And my wife is, she's 7 years older than I am, and she has two children from a previous marriage. So when I met her, she had at the time a ready-made family. And it was she as a single mother who had entirely stepped up and was taking care of her children on her own. She had told her ex-husband at the time she didn't want his child support. She didn't want to have to deal with him, that she was going to do it. She was going to handle it. And so when I arrived on the scene, you know, I kind of took my time as a young man to take a look at what was going on and to survey the landscape. And I tell you what, you know, when you see and you hear about and you encounter people who have taken on the challenge head first, who have decided, you know what, I only get one shot at this, and I'm going to make my best of it. You know, you said in your own story, Billy, that the village showed up, that people respond to that, that your provision is already out there when you accept your purpose. It's already there. The provision is already lined up. God rested on the seventh day, and he ain't had to do nothing for us since. It's already out there. And so as a man at 24, I looked at my wife, my future wife, and, you know, I hate to get off on an aside. I don't have very much time, but I have to tell you all this. The first night I met my wife, I introduced her as my fiance. I knew it, Doc. I knew it right then. But anyway, I didn't know she had kids, though. I hadn't found that out yet. But so I introduced her as my wife, but I did not know at the same time I was accepting the responsibility to become an immediate father right on the spot. Was I prepared? No. Was I ready? No. But you're never ready. You'll never be ready. There's no way in the world you can prepare yourself for what your children are going to teach you. You can't do that. You can't teach yourself what your children are going to teach you, so you'll never be ready. You can't be. That goes for men. That goes for women, mothers, fathers. You're never ready. If you're waiting to get ready, you're delusional. You'll never be ready. So at that particular point, at 24, about to marry a woman 7 years older than I with two ready-made children, a son and a daughter, 7 and 8 years old at the time when I initially met them, it was on and popping. Here it is. Here you go. Are you going to take this on? Do you have what it takes? Are you going to step up? Well, I didn't know if I had what it takes or not. I knew I loved that woman, and I loved her children enough to do my very level best. That's all I could do. I was already saved at the time, although if, you know, you want to call it backslidden, maybe that's what I was. I wasn't a member of a church. I was never a real Bible-toting type Christian, but I knew where my help came from, and I knew where my soul was going, and so I was saved at the time. And so I went about this transformation, and I had one individual that I spoke to. He was an older fellow in the Navy, and I can recall that he gave me some sage advice. And it's the best advice I've ever heard for a parent, the best advice ever. He told me that it is my Christian childhood that's the DNA of my natural parenthood. I'll never forget that, and I'll say it again. He said, your Christian childhood is the DNA of your natural parenthood. I didn't get the full grasp of that then, but some years later it really settled on me. And what all that means is that you're not fit to parent if you're not willing to be parented. If you're not going to allow God to parent you, then you are not yet fit to parent. So what does that mean? I'm already saddled with children. I already have a child. Are you telling me I'm an unfit parent? No. What I'm telling you is if you want to become a fit parent, work on your Christian childhood. Get to know God as your father. Understand him and his model. Understand how he treats you, how he responds to you, how he interacts with you, how he communicates with you, how he nurtures you, how he encourages you, how he empowers you. Learn that DNA and then apply that to your own children. See, even though I was just 24 and even though I was still very young in the head, that particular information set me on the path. So I have two children from my wife's previous marriage, and then we later on had our own two children. Now, was I ready to parent the first two? No. They were much better children than I was ever a parent. They taught me much more than I ever expected I would learn. They've helped me nonstop, even to this day. Now my oldest son is 30 and my oldest daughter is 28, and they have children of their own, and they both have marriages. My son's been married for 10 years, and my daughter has been married for 8, and we're all dealing and learning at the same time. But their model of parenthood, I can see the fingerprint of my Christian childhood. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. To see how that gets translated, and see, I've taken an aside, and I know I only have so much time, so I'm going to go back and make sure that I cover the stuff that I thought I was going to talk about, at least in general. So I'm going to start here with the definition of real. See, Billy told me, my brother said, I need you to come on the radio, Mind Shift Talk Radio, and we're going to sit down and we're going to have a discussion about real men and real fathers. And so me, I'm a bit of a wordsmith. I love words, and I'm very keen on semantics. And so the first place I go when somebody tells me we're going to talk about something is to a dictionary. I went to Merriam-Webster's, and I looked up real. It's an adjective. It's spelled R-E-A-L. You can look it up in your own local neighborhood dictionary. And I took out the first six definitions. Yes, I said six. There are a lot of them, but they all seem to say the same thing, you know, because there are nuances to it. The first definition is real means true, not merely ostensible, nominal, or apparent, but true. If you're real, you won't be ostensible. You won't just be an apparent. You'll be a true parent. It says existing is the second definition, existing or occurring as fact, actual rather than imaginary or fictitious. See, if you're going to be a real man and you're going to be a real father, pretending's not going to cut it. Acting like a father is not going to cut it. Going through the motions is not going to cut it. Doing the things you think a father ought to do is not going to cut it. It's a great start, but that's not going to cut it. Acting like a dad doesn't make you a dad. Because there's a very subtle nuance. There's a distinction between what appears to be real and what's real. See, definition number three says that real is being an actual thing, having an objective existence, not imaginary. Number four says being actually such and not merely so-called. Oh, I like that one. I'm going to actually be a man. I'm going to actually be a father and not just a so-called man and a so-called father. Definition number five says that real is genuine, not counterfeit, not artificial, and not an imitation, not an imitation. Being real is authentic. The sixth definition and the final one is being real is unfeigned and sincere. See, that's what Billy said. That's what happened. That's the transformation. When you decide to step up, you decide to move from acting like to being. You decide to move from looking like to being. You decide to move from being so-called to actually being. That's what it means to step up. I'm not just going to talk about what needs to be done. I'm not just going to talk about what I ought to do. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it. You know, a couple of months ago on my Facebook page, quite a few ladies follow me on Facebook, and one of them asked a question one time. I think it was my FormSpring page. She says, Bo, how do you define a real man? I said, wow, that's an excellent question. How do you define a real man? So my answer was this. I said, look, I'm sure everyone has their own definition, but to me, a real man is accountable, responsible, and present. But further, his presence ensures peace, safety, love, vision, and provision for his family and all that are committed to his charge. I'll say it again. A real man is accountable, responsible, and present. But just being there isn't enough. See, any man can be there, but if a real man is there, then his presence will ensure peace, safety, love, vision, and provision for his family and all committed to his charge. Anybody can be there. Anybody can sit at the head of the table. Anybody can lay around on the couch and bark orders. Anybody can go to work and bring home a check and not care what happens to it. Anybody can do that, but a real man is going to be accountable, responsible, and present. And that presence is going to ensure some very specific things. See, a real man is evidenced not in what he has or who he is, but most accurately in how those around him are affected by him. See, there's no way to identify a real man by looking at him. You can't look at a man. You cannot look at a man walking down the street and tell me he's a real man. And see, that's where so many women go wrong. They drank the Kool-Aid. Well, you know, if he's wearing a certain kind of clothes, certain kind of shoes, driving a certain kind of car, if he carries himself a certain way, he has a certain kind of education from a particular pedigree, background, location, well, none of that means anything. Nothing. None of it qualifies a real man. None of it. It's all smoke and mirrors. There is no way to identify a real man by looking at him. Further, you cannot identify a real man by listening to him. You can't. No one on this call can listen to what I'm saying right now and say, you know what, ooh, that Bo is a real man. You can't do that. It's impossible to do. It's a fallacy. You're fooling yourself. I'm going to tell you a secret, ladies. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. If you want to identify a real man, don't look at that clown. Look at everybody he's impacting. See, a real man makes everyone around him better. See, a real man takes responsibility and accountability for himself, his family, his neighbors, his community, and they're all better because he's there. Take a look. Look at his fingerprint. See, if we were detectives and we had to go and find a real man as if he's missing, we wouldn't go around looking for what he was wearing. We'd go and look around for what he's done. What have you done? What are you doing? How are you impacting those that are given to your charge, that are looking to you for leadership, that are looking to you for accountability and responsibility? Are you standing up to that? How have you produced in the position that you've been placed? I don't care how high or how perceivably low that place might be. I don't care whether you're the president or whether you out here in the back cleaning out my gutters. It doesn't matter. What you're doing does not identify if you're a real man. It's how you do it that identifies if you're a real man. It's not what, it's how. And see, therein lies the primary distinction between a person who wants to be a dad and a person who's a real father. Yes, I'm shifting gears at the moment because, see, I just said it's not what. And if I can get you to agree with me on that, then I'm going to move to the next level and start talking about parenthood, fatherhood, because, see, it's not what, it's how. Oh, absolutely. See, it's this very subtle nuance that's led so many astray. I'll tell you how subtle it is. You know, I told you I like words. I'm a bit of a wordsmith. And so there's this series of words I like to use, and it may not have the same impact over the call that it has in person, but if you're in the chat room, I'm going to write something for you. And so the first thing I'm going to write is this little play on words. It's coming up here. It's hard for me to talk and type at the same time. I'm not as sharp as Billy is, so we're going to get it there. So the first thing. Oh, absolutely, Bill. I know, man, you all over. They told me you done got rid of the rotary phone and everything. So
I'm trying to step it up.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, bro. All in the 20th century in there. That's good. So the first distinction, see, this is the subtlety, and this is where people start to lose it. And if you look, there's a play on words. I'm about to post it. I know you're looking for it if you're in the forum, and there it is right there. Can you see that?
Well, let me just stop for one. Let me just put a pause in there for 1 second before you share this with us. I want to make sure that all our listeners know that they're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery, Billy Miller, and Ayel Kedar. You are listening to our special guest, none other than the special author himself, Mr. Bo Bedouin. And what did you just call yourself with the word? You called yourself a word what? Was it a magnet? What did you call yourself?
Wordsmith.
A wordsmith. I like that. Okay, I had to write that down, but go ahead.
I didn't invent that. I told you, I found that somewhere else. I'm a wordsmith. I'm mind for words. I didn't invent that. Anyway, so So here's one of the first subtleties, one of the primary subtleties that get people in trouble. And I'm going to speak specifically to men at this point because we're focusing on fathers. And I'm sure there are mothers who can benefit from this as well. But, see, there's a difference between attention and attention. Absolutely. They sound the same if you're listening with the, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess the naked ear. Attention and attention don't sound a whole lot different. They sound quite a bit the same, but they mean something entirely different if you're talking about parenthood. See, when a man enters a room, often what you get is attention. Yes, he's operating in the natural. He wants to be in charge. He wants to domineer and enforce his authority. And so he creates tension where there was none before he arrived. See, that's the fingerprint of a man operating in the natural. When he shows up, he creates a tension. Things get tense. Things get uneasy. People get nervous. You'll notice if you watch closely, you know, 5, 6, and 8-year-olds who, when their daddy enters the room, they won't run to him. They'll hide in a corner. They won't seek him out in the room and sprint across a room to jump in his arms. Instead, they'll try to stay out of his line of sight because he's accustomed to creating a tension. Because he's operating in the natural. He has not submitted to his Christian childhood, and therefore his parenthood has some other alternate DNA. But when you get a real father, when he enters a room, there is attention on every side. People know that he has arrived because the atmosphere changes. If there was a tension before, it's gone now because he's here. His presence ensures peace. His presence ensures love. When that father enters the room, his child will break their necks, jumping over tables, running over people, trying to get to daddy. Because he's already proven that he loves his child. He's already loved his child the same way God loves him. Because his parenthood exemplifies his Christian childhood, his child can't wait till he gets home. Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to be in his presence. And see, that brings us to the second word. See, the second play on words, if you will. I'm typing that one as well, so I'm going to let y'all catch your breath. I know I talk a lot. I talk pretty fast. I don't give you any room to interject. But I'm going to throw this second one up here because Billy told me I only have, like, you know, 12 minutes or something. I have to hurry up. So here's the second one. All right. Now, see, Billy just typed, his presence ensures peace. So this is the second play on words that shows you a subtle nuance between what is a man operating in the natural and what is a man operating in the spiritual. And the distinction is presence versus presence. Just like attention and attention, they sound very much alike. But here we're talking about presence versus presence. See, there are fathers who don't spend time with their children. They find every reason they can not to spend time with their children. They feel uncomfortable around their child. Why? Because they're still uncomfortable around God. They haven't submitted to God's fathership, so they don't know how to father. They've not become a child in the spirit, so they don't know how to deal with a child in the natural. So what they do then is they try to substitute their presence with presence. I'm going to buy you something. See, I don't have time to come to your recital, but I'm going to buy you something. I don't have time to help you with your homework, but I'm going to get you an Xbox. I can't be there for your graduation, but I'm going to send you a couple of dollars. I can't. No, see, when I'm operating in the natural, I assume that presence can substitute for presence. But see, if I am operating in the spiritual and I have accepted God's fatherhood in my life, and spiritually I long for his presence. No, God, I don't need a blessing right now. I need you. Lord, I don't need no money right now. I need you. Lord, no. I don't need you to do nothing for me but show up right now. I need you here. See, when you understand that in your own DNA, there's no way you'll deny that to your child. You come to understand it. You come to appreciate it. And you'll never try to substitute your presence with presence. Hmm. That's right. Dylan said it. See, a real father going to show up. He's going to be there. Not only when you need him, when you don't even think you need him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be there, and he's not going to substitute his presence with presence. All right, now the last one here. I'm already running out of time. I got 5 minutes. I know Billy probably over there looking at his watch. And see, the last one, you probably heard it before.
I'm trying to find the extension button, brother.
So let me put this one up here. All right. So this was going to be fairly obvious, but you know, it's easy enough for people to confuse. And again, we're talking about the difference between the what and the how, and we're also talking about the difference between someone operating in the spiritual, a father, and someone operating in the natural. See, and I'm sure you've heard men operating in the natural. I know you hear them say this all the time. I'm going to go ahead and post it. See, the distinction is between a man and a man. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all you got to do is listen to the conversation. See, someone in the natural is going to defend their manhood. That's right. I'm a grown man. You can't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. I'm running this. I don't listen to children. Children don't dictate my life. Children respond to me. I'm the one in charge. See, again, that's a man operating in the natural. That's a man who's never prayed to God in earnest and watched God move heaven and earth on his behalf. You mean to tell me you can watch the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, show up in your hour of need? He comes to you. The creator of everything, the originator of everything, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, stopped what he was doing to answer your prayer. See, brother, if you've never prayed that prayer and God has never shown up, then you can't appreciate how you need to stop whatever it is you're doing and tend to your child. You don't understand that because you're going to be trying to defend your manhood in the natural because your childhood in the spiritual is underdeveloped. See, when your child needs you, a man is going to talk about how much of a man he is, but a real man and a real father ain't going to say nothing but amen. I don't have to profess to you I'm a man. I'm just going to say amen. I don't have to profess to you how in charge I am, how much authority I have, how in control I am. I'm going to look at my child's need, and I'm going to say amen. Because let me tell you what amen means. See, amen means I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you what amen means. Amen means, baby, it's already done. That's all you had to do was tell daddy what you needed. That's all you had to do. Amen means I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing. Nothing's more important. I am coming to the aid of my child. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm done, Doc. That's it for me. That's my time.
Amen. That was awesome, Bo. That was powerful. I mean, there's so much you said. I got so many notes. And, you know, I got that Red Dictionary, too, that Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. And, you know, I dig in. I'm a wordsmith, too, and I like to dig in them words. So you did exactly what I wanted you to do, brother. And one of the things I just love when you said actual rather than imaginary. And that's just I got to go look that one up and meditate some more on that, because there are a lot of people who are acting, you know, but they're not being real. And that's just good, man. You just said so much.
Yeah.
And,
but actually, I wanted to say one more thing, because I thought about it. You know, I heard, I think it was Dr. Ilkadar say, you know, we don't hear these stories about, you know, men that are taking responsibility and accountability. And I have to share this with you. I know we're closing, but I have to share this with you. One of the reasons we don't hear it, one of the primary reasons you don't hear about it, is because the men that are doing it and not talking about it. That's one of the primary reasons you don't hear it. They're not blowing their own horn. They're tending to their children. And so here's the prime example. When Billy asked me to do this show, My knee-jerk reaction was, yes, I can do it, because it was Billy asking. But see, Monday night is our own Bible study here at home with my wife and my two teenage daughters that are home now. One's about to be 19 and one just turned 17. And so we have our at-home Bible study. And so, you know, there was this. But then when he said it was 10 p.m., I knew he was fine then. Had it been 9 p.m., had it been 8 p.m., I wouldn't have been on the show. I wouldn't have been here to share. I wouldn't have been here to have anything to say, because they would take precedent. They are my main event every day. And until I know I don't have any time, but I have to say this. I've had offers to go on book tours and to do speaking tours and to do all of that kind of stuff. I have two teenage daughters. I tell all of those folks, that stuff can wait. If you want me to speak now, I'll be just that much wiser 3 years from now when they both off in college. I'll be just that much wiser. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But if I can't do it from my basement, where I can hang up this phone and walk upstairs and kiss my girls on the forehead and listen to how their day was, I'm not doing it. But anyway, that's right. It. I'm sorry. I took too much time. I apologize.
That's all right. Well, Bo, as always, you know, it is an honor to have you here. We are so thankful. I mean, I'm looking at the chat room, and I hear preach, Bo, and everything going on in the chat room. So, as always, you are just so phenomenal. Another powerful message that definitely needs to be shared. And I thank you for taking the time just to be here with us tonight to share this powerful message with our listeners. We definitely appreciate you being here. And we know that our listeners can get in touch with you online at bospeaks.com. Am I correct? Is that bospeaks.com?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bo. We definitely appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Bo Bedouin. You can make sure that you find him online. You can like his page, and you also can become his friend on Facebook. And Bedouin is spelled B-A-U-B-E. Okay, let's start again. This is live. Guys, it's live. It's a live show. Okay, just bear with me.
Facebook.com/BoSpeaks.
There you go. Thank you. I was trying to spell Bedouin, B-E-A-U-D-O-I-N. There it is. Can't bleep that out. Can't fix that blooper. Okay, great. But, guys, again, make sure that you check out the replay for this show, and make sure that you're sharing this with friends and family members. We say all those individuals that are in need of a mind shift. Another great topic, another great conversation that everyone needs to hear, not just fathers, but also single men that are preparing for parenthood and fatherhood, and also for women as well. And I love the fact that Bo started off that message speaking to the women in terms of what we also need to be able to identify when we're looking for that real man in our lives as well. So as always, we encourage you to check out the show every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Also check out the place online at mindshifttalkradio.com. And if you are not following this show yet, make sure you hit the follow link on our page. You can also become a friend of ours and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. And you heard from the motivational minister himself, Mr. Billy Miller. Make sure that you're following Mr. Billy Miller online and also at Facebook as well. He has a great newsletter as well that you can find on his website. So, again, make sure that you're here next week, same time, same place, for another phenomenal guest. You do not want to miss it as we wrap up this month's segment, Honoring the Men in Our Lives. You guys be blessed. Have a phenomenal week, and we will speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.